Welcome to Governor Tim Pawlenty's podcast from the great state of Minnesota. At a press conference, Governor Tim Pawlenty proposed a constitutional amendment limiting state spending to revenues raised. The following is the audio from that press conference.
Minnesota's government for much of the last 40 years has been on a spending binge, and the growth in state government spending has far exceeded the growth in the private economy and far exceeded inflation for much of those times. And we have seen the consequences of that kind of behavior in the form of a roller coaster ride of budget deficits and surpluses and other challenges within the budget. We have a proposal today that is designed to try to address that and make that process more predictable, make that process and the results more responsible and sustainable over time. More specifically, from the year 1960 until I became governor, the average biennial or two-year increase in the state's budget has been 21%. That's an amazing, startling, frightening number. It is unsustainable going forward. It is not something that the state or its taxpayers or the private economy can reasonably expect it to continue to foot the bill for. Fortunately, during my time as governor, we have brought that down substantially and created a more responsible and sustainable spending pattern. But we need to make sure that those types of actions are not a once in a century or once every few decades occurrence. It needs to be done on a permanent and sustainable and systematic basis. We need to have a commitment to contain spending growth at reasonable levels for the state and for our taxpayers going forward. The chart to my right depicts that spending pattern. I'll go into that in a little more detail in just a moment. I'm sorry for those who are on the phone who can't see the chart. But it's a bar graph from the biennium starting in 1962-63 to the one we just recently completed, 2008-2009. So this depicts the growth in state spending in two-year increments from that time period. And the total amount that was actually spent is the blue bar and the red bar added together. So you can see the startling pattern of spending growth in state government in Minnesota, almost a straight line up from 1960. And again, that adds up, by the way, to that average 21% average over that period of time. We also have a budget process that is broken and needs to be fixed. The state of Minnesota and many other states base their future spending commitments or their current legally binding spending commitments based on projections or guesses about future revenues. Sometimes those guesses are right, sometimes those guesses are wrong, but they're always off the mark. It's just a matter of by how much. And so this creates deficits, it creates surpluses in part because we budget based on guesswork. And that just defies common sense. We need to budget based on the revenues that we actually bring in the door and make that process more stable, more predictable, and more reliable than it currently is. So, for example, if you're a truck driver and you make $45,000 this year, you don't build a budget for next year on the hope that you might get $60,000 or $70,000 because you believe that that's a wished-for thing or a best guess. Most people budget based on their income levels that they're currently experiencing for next year. And if they happen to get more unexpectedly or as time unfolds, they treat that as a windfall and they deal with it as it materializes. But basically, people budget on the revenues or the paychecks that they experience in the current moment of time. So we should budget based on that type of approach, not imagined increases or forecasted increases in state revenues or the guesswork that is behind that. We need to change the way that we budget in the state of Minnesota from what we want to spend to what we have brought in the door. And that proposal today does exactly that. It is budgeting based on what's in the checkbook rather than what we hope might be in the checkbook in the future. All of us in this room have experienced the roller coaster ride of budget projections, surpluses, deficits, and it is volatile, it is unpredictable, and it can be very unsettling to public policy decisions and the political system more broadly. So the proposal that we have today is one that takes a little explaining, but we think accomplishes all of these objectives. Let me first start out and say this is not Tabor. I propose Tabor, a style limitation on state spending in a state of the state. Excuse me, address. Getting choked up about Tabor, Doug. state of the state address some years ago, and that's been rejected by the legislature. They're not going to do that. It also, that type of approach has brought some concerns in other places like Colorado. It's been rejected in some other places. So I want to be clear up front, this is not Tabor. What Tabor does is says, in general, or Tabor-style approach, we're going to take things like inflation or population growth, and we're going to limit spending to some combination of those two kinds of things. And there's some concerns that have developed around Tabor. I favor that kind of approach, but it's pretty clear the legislature is not going to support or pass that kind of approach. So what we're proposing today is to limit the spending in an upcoming budget cycle to the revenues that we actually brought in the door or have in the bank, so to speak, in the current biennium. Now, this proposal would have a number of features to it, but one of the things it would do for sure is to move the budgeting process from one that is based on guessworks and projections and informed forecasting to something that is much closer to money brought in the door and a more reliable measurement of the revenues that we can expect to live on and that we can expect to receive. We also know that the current process, you know, requires the legislature and the governor to make legally binding commitments that are put into law based on money that hasn't yet arrived. And again, that's like building your house on shifting sands. You cannot put down legally binding, in some cases, entitlement-style, long-term structural commitments based on money that is not yet materialized or is not yet in the door. We also believe this will smooth out the budgeting process in a helpful way. So this is a constitutional amendment to say the expenditures or the spending by state government cannot exceed the actual revenues brought in the door in the preceding budget period. This has a limiting effect, but it's very, I think, a smoothing effect. And the increment of savings is depicted on the bar graph to my right by the red increment. So if you look at it from 1962 to 2008-2009, you'll see some substantial savings, but in the overall scheme of things, it is not draconian. This is a limit that puts some limit on growth, but the net effect of this, had it been in place since 1960, would be to have reduced the cumulative state spending by about $22 billion, or to reduce it by about 7.5% over that time. So that would be an average of more than $900 million per state budget period. On the chart to my left, which is another bar graph, this shows how it would have worked in reality in the first biennium that I became governor. As you know, we had a $4.5 or so billion budget deficit projected based on the projected expenditures and revenues during that period of time. The bar on the furthest left depicts the amount of revenues that were actually realized in the budget cycle, the last budget cycle under Governor Ventura. That would have then become the benchmark for spending in the next budget cycle, the 2004-05 one, which was the first one that I was the governor for. That would have limited expenditures to that $27 billion. Now, as you move to the further on the right, you'll see that the actual revenues in 2004-05 were $29.5 billion. Now, we're saying in the 2004-05, the expenditures would have been limited to $27 billion, and instead of having a $4.5 billion deficit under this approach, we would have had a $2.5 billion available pot of money. Now, we're not saying you can't spend that. So that money would still be available for use, but it would be used for strategic and prioritized purposes. Specifically, first order of business would be to reestablish budget reserves as a cushion and as a rainy day fund. We're also saying that amount of money could be available for legitimate, one-time, non-recurring, non-structural commitments, or could be used for tax relief and other things like that. But the point is, the structural commitments that would be made in the budget cycle could not exceed the actual revenues collected in the preceding budget cycle. If there is a windfall, if there is an overage beyond that amount, it is still in play, so to speak, for the legislature and the governor to decide what to do, but they can't use that increment for structural or permanent spending. They can only use it for these dedicated purposes of reserves and one-time spending. This is very different, like I said, from Tabor for a variety of reasons, but one way this is different is in Tabor-style proposals and mechanisms, as the revenues might decrease, if you had a year where revenues are decreased, so you go from, say, last biennium to this one, where state revenues actually decreased in real terms, Tabor would only allow you to build that back at 3% a click. In other words, it's a not a random, but an objective measurement of how fast you can grow that back. Under this proposal, it can grow back as fast as the economy would grow back. In other words, if you have a biennium where the revenues click up pretty substantially because of economic return or economic growth, and that becomes the benchmark or the starting point for the biennium after that. And there's other differences as well. So we believe this will accomplish the objective of at least slowing down the rate of growth in state spending. We also believe it will make the budget forecasting process more stable and predictable and reliable. And we also believe that this will cause the legislature to be, and the future governors, to be more prudent and responsible in containing spending growth in the state of Minnesota. We just can't continue on the path that we've been on. It is not a matter of political philosophy, although it reflects my political philosophy. It's simply a matter of math. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an Independent or Green Party or something else or neither, you can't look at the spending pattern, a spending growth pattern in the state of Minnesota for the last 40-plus years and not conclude that it needs to be changed and reformed in a dramatic fashion. And that's what this proposal is, at least starts down that road and that process with that result in mind.
To learn more about any of the subjects addressed in this podcast, please visit Governor Pawlenty's website at www.governor.state.mn.us. Also, be sure to regularly check the governor's website for more podcasts from Governor.